pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any agenda changes, deletions, or additions this evening? It's time for public comment. Is there anyone that would like to address the board for items that are not on this evening's agenda? Seeing none, let's move on to the superintendent's report.
Good evening.
That's working.
I was looking at the calendar and realized it's been a little while since we've had a regular board meeting. In November, we had the second session of some differentiated leadership professional development that we've planned for the school year. We redesigned our leadership team meetings to support the learning needs of individual members of our leadership team. A few of our meetings during the year are dedicated to looking at data and LCAP progress altogether, and the remaining meetings are dedicated to professional learning. We have four groups meeting with the following professional learning focuses: HR evaluation and supervision. HR evaluation and supervision being led by Molly Parks. Difficult conversations being led by Frank Wells. Visible learning being led by Julia Hodges and Marianne Robb. And liberating meeting structures and design thinking, led by Kristen Bodenhauer and Liz Blaschnik. So people selected the group they wanted to be a part of, and we're conducting our own professional learning community meetings as a leadership team during that leadership meeting time. So far, the feedback's been really positive, and folks are just disappointed they can't do them all. It's kind of, you know, people are wanting to be able to take a different class, too, so we'll look at how we restructure this moving on. The last couple weeks, I've had the delightful opportunity to participate with Frank in student LCAP focus groups at each of our secondary schools. And we only have one more school left to visit, Santa Cruz High School, next week. But the kids have been so thoughtful and so reflective and really helpful and had some really creative and interesting ideas about things that would support them, food they'd like to see served in the cafeteria, all kinds of different things. So we're getting feedback all for the right places. And I really want to eat at the cafeteria described by the Brand Sporting Middle School students. But it's been a lot of fun for us and informative. We're getting ready to put our student survey out. There will be a survey for all secondary students, but this is the focus group meeting time has been very valuable. This month, we restarted the CECA Operations Committee. This was the committee that was started last year to look at the AB602 funding model. We're monitoring the impact of the funding model, what we projected it would do, what it's actually doing to costs for districts in the coming year. And there's also some other AB602 language that we're going to be looking at over the coming year. And I'll continue to work on efficiencies within the SELPA. I'll provide you updates as the year progresses. As part of our multi-tiered systems of support grant, the county is providing us technical assistance to assess our district systems. Remember, that's our tiers of support. We called it RTI. It's expanding to the concept of multi-tiered systems of support, both academic and social emotional. I want to thank Casey Carlson, the GSCFT president, for attending the most recent meeting in December with our educational services team. So our educational services team has been going to trainings. Casey joined them when it was a great addition to that conversation. And this work that they're doing on and self-assessment work is going to inform our MTSS RTI retreats that we have each February. So I want to thank the Ed Services team and Casey for the many hours that have been put into the state trainings and the self-assessment. Tomorrow, Casey Carlson, Molly Parks, Santa Cruz High School librarian Veronica Zahela, and Principal Brent Klein are attending a regional California Labor Management Initiative conference to see how the region work is progressing and to investigate how our participation might be helpful for us. Casey's also set up a meeting with the consultants from ABC Unified in January when we return off the break to help us plan our February partnership between administration and labor meeting. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about next steps and continuing that conversation and that work. And that's it for this evening.
So now it's time for our student rep. Can you remind me your name? I'm sorry.
My name's Allie Bear. I'm filling in for Genesis.
Hi, Allie. Thanks for coming back.
Well, at Harvard, our semester is wrapping up, so everything's sort of geared towards finals right now, which will start next week. That's pretty much it. We have a blood drive, and a lot of focus is on just ending the semester strong, I suppose.
Great. Trustee, okay. Patty?
Just some high points of my around the towns. Did the superintendent trustee community meeting at Santa Cruz High? I think that perhaps we might want to look at the dates that we offer them. Some are well attended, and sometimes it just doesn't work depending on the school. So I was happy to be there and happy for some information that came from the Ed Foundation, but didn't have a large parent turnout that particular one. I was able to attend the press release for the landed housing proposal that is now offered through the district. I'd like to thank the County Office of Education and our administration for the work that's done, and I am hopeful that all throughout the district have the opportunity to check into the program and use it as needed. It's a wonderful benefit. Had the opportunity also to attend the Next Generation Science Mixer, where some of the people within the education foundations came together for the leadership and to let us know what's going on there. Went to the Dads Tournament, where Santa Cruz High School has had this long tradition, saw many of the community who have participated in it. It's a real feel-good and a lot of work behind it. Basketball tournament that happens at the Civic, and John Wilson, a current teacher of ours, his father was honored. He had participated as a volunteer for many, many, many years there, and it was in his passing that they got that far. Enjoyed the game, quite spirited, went to a fifth quarter, Santa Cruz winning, really good game. And lastly, the family had the opportunity on the Thanksgiving weekend to go through the Capitola Village, where we were so pleasantly surprised by the Soquel High Choir, who was out caroling. So many people and we just said, will you sing for us? And they did. They stopped and they sang quite a bit. They caroled. And it was a great community feel-good. People were very happy to know that in public schools, music matters, and that students have found a home there. So thank you.
I'll submit my report.
Okay. Just a few small things. I went to a concert last week at the dual immersion program at De La Viega, where they sang both English and Spanish songs, some Christmas and some otherwise, and it was a great experience. My daughter is volunteering there right now, so she dragged me along to see it, and I was really glad to go. And next week I'll be going to Bayview's Christmas party for, I believe it's been about 10 or 12 years now that I've been going, so it's an institution for me, and I'm really looking forward to it. And finally, I just wanted to mention that I feel the calls and emails from parents in the community that are joining the Ed are calling to ask about the Ed Foundation and joining the Ed Foundation and talking about what else they can do to be involved with the schools. And I'm really happy to see that. I'm happy to see that our parents are feeling like this is something now that they are part of and that they can be part of in ways that will make big changes. So I just wanted to mention that because I was happy to see it.
Was this on earlier?
It was.
Is it on now?
Mm-hmm.
It is? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if I'm shouting at you guys. I attended the CSBA Delegate Assembly and the annual conference the last weekend in November. And as delegates, we met and last year the emphasis was really on repealing the reserve cap, but we were successful in that effort. So looking forward to the new efforts for lobbying and advocacy, CSBA is looking at working towards the Prop 51, having the governor actually fulfill the promise of the people that to sell the bonds and start spending the money that for the shovel-ready projects, and also a big emphasis on transparency and oversight for charter schools, which all six gubernatorial candidates spoke at the CSBA conference. It was very interesting and entertaining. But I do feel like charter school money is going to play a big issue, play a lot of a big role in this election. And also was pleasantly honored to be asked by CSBA President Mike Walsh to serve on the planning committee for next year's conference, which will be in San Francisco. So that's me. Okay. So our first item tonight is approval of the minutes from the December 6th meeting. That was a special meeting, right?
Yeah. Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Who was the second? Thank you.
Okay. Our next item is the consent agenda. These items generally are considered non-controversial and may be passed in one roll call motion. Are there any items the board would like pulled for question or for comment?
Yeah, I'd like to pull 8.1.9.1 for question.
Clarifying question. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Any others?
What if you just want to make a comment?
Okay.
Does that count?
Yeah, fine.
8.1.6.
8.1.6. Okay. Okay, we'll start with Jeremy.
Okay, so 8.1.9.1 is a $15,000 flat rate fee to be paid to Clifford Moss for communications. It reads contract Clifford Moss Strategic District Communication. And I think that's great because our communications is an area where we can improve, and I like the people at Clifford Moss, and I think they can help us. That's not the issue, nor is the amount the issue. The issue is that it's funded through the general fund, and I think that as most of the communication has to do with the bond, I think that it would be in our interest in terms of saving money from the general fund to differentiate or to parcel that out or to disaggregate that, if you will. Communications pertaining to the bond should be paid out of the bond, communications to the general fund out of the general fund. Because this $15,000, it's not the first payment. And I know, having talked to Superintendent Monroe, that she's trying to err on the side of being cautious, but I would like the board to give different direction on this.
Can you answer that? Because we'll have to pull it and vote on it after, if that's...
Can I just make a suggestion?
Yes.
We can get the legal answer to that. Again, regarding the... So I would just, if the board is receptive to it, if it's permissive to be paid under the bond, and there's no opposition to that board, I'd like to move forward with the contract.
Yeah.
And then with perhaps a motion with a gentle amendment that says it's permissive to be paid for out of the bond, we pay for out of the bond. If that's okay. Because I don't have a legal answer to your question right now.
I understand. So that would be a friendly amendment that Pat, I don't think, can make.
That's my suggestion.
Yeah, we'll move. What we're going to do is I'm going to pull
it. I know that law.
We're going to move this for approval separate from the consent so that we can address
right.
that. Okay. Sheila, you had a question or a comment on 8.1.6?
Just a comment. I feel like the problem having this in the consent agenda is that we don't stop and notice it, that we are approving a queer youth out-of-state field trip to the Creating Change conference, which, if I understand it correctly, is being paid for entirely by active groups in this community who want to support our queer youth, and all we're being asked to do is say that they can go. And I'm just blown away by their effort to reach out like that and to make sure that our queer youth are supported. And so I just kind of wanted to highlight it.
Okay, are there any comments from the public on these items? So we've pulled item 8.1.1.9 for a separate conversation or discussion and vote.
8.1.9.
Yes. Did you actually vote on the rest of the consent agenda?
We're going to do that right now.
Okay, great.
Is there a motion to approve the rest of the agenda?
Move approval.
Second.
Okay, this is a roll call, so we'll start with you, Allie. Student recommendation. You can abstain.
Yeah. Aye. Thank you.
Okay, item 8.1.9.1.
Well, I would move to approve it as is, but I would make a friendly amendment, which is that if after Pat consults with legal counsel and gets the green light to approve all or some portion of this that is related to bond communications, that money be shifted from general fund money to bond money. Is that succinct enough for
yes.
that work?
Second.
Patty, second.
Thank you.
Okay, this is another roll call. So, student recommendation?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Okay. So our next item is the report on closed session. Oh, I guess we should actually, it's the vote on expulsion 417718.
I move to approve the expulsion of student 41718 through the end of the 2017-18 school year.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Now it's the report of actions taken closed session.
The Board of Trustees heard information on expulsion 41718 to prepare for a vote on these matters later this evening. The Board of Trustees heard an update regarding a final settlement agreement, OAH case 20170812205. The Board of Trustees took action on certificated classified and management leaves, retirements, resignations, and appointments. The Board of Trustees conferred and gave direction in regards to labor negotiations with GSCFT. The Board of Trustees conferred regarding the property at 255 Swift Street and 133 Mission Street. The Board of Trustees took action to reject the portion of the claim related to existing litigation. Sales versus SCCS occurring within 6 months of the claim.
Okay. You have gifts? What? Oh, you're reading out the expulsion. I thought you had gifts. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next item is the public hearing on textbook sufficiency. So I hereby open the hearing. Is there any comment from the public? Seeing none?
That was a record, right?
That was.
Close the hearing. Okay, so our next item is the resolution regarding approval of the textbook sufficiency for elementary and secondary.
Frank.
We have all sides recognized as being sufficient in this area.
Okay, so these are two separate. I don't have it open.
They actually said, can we do one motion to approve both resolutions.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve the...
I move we approve both resolutions.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Okay, student recommendation?
Abstain.
Okay.
Yep.
Aye.
Thank
you.
Okay, next item of business is the budget principles.
Yes, we've had the opportunity to share the budget principles with you at a couple of different occasions. And so we are bringing these forward for consideration for approval this evening.
Are there any comments or questions from the board? Sheila, go ahead.
Thank you for the budget principles because I thought they were clear and reasonable, and I was happy to see them.
Any other comment? Any comments from the public? So there's a recommendation to approve these principles. I have a motion to approve.
Move approval.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry, I forgot to ask you your recommendation.
Same.
Okay. Okay, so our next item is Pat again on the first interim report.
Thank you. Again, we covered a lot of these comments and these issues with you when we had a workshop, and so just a couple quick things to cover with you again tonight, and we had the opportunity again with some folks last night at the Budget Advisory Committee to review a couple different components of this as well. So we're recommending a positive certification for the first interim report. A certified addition will be able to meet its financial obligations for the current year and the subsequent two fiscal years. Okay, so that's what the action has to take tonight. This is a recap again of some of the high-level components on the revenue side. Some of the adjustments we went through in a little more detail. The LCFS sources adjustments are a hybrid of issues related to enrollment and property taxes, which has yielded an overall increase. The federal program breaks down what the federal revenue increases are primarily associated with Title I increases, and we spell out some of the other decreases in some other categories. The state programs, we've referenced to these 3 years as well. I believe the CTEIG should say CTE as opposed to CTEIG. So that's kind of a summary of the state program revenues. Local revenues, this is primarily associated with some of the recognition of some of the donations that we're receiving this year. I know we have a great donation later tonight that we're going to take action on. So this is, again, a recap of some of the adjustments on the local revenue side and the local revenue side. Okay. Expenditures, we went through this in detail. There's some adjustments on the salary side. With those salaries, this is not associated with salary increases for all the employee units. This is associated with positions, some adjustments to positions, some step and column changes, some positions that were added relative to the adopted budget. This is not the result of negotiations. We should call it out for the public in the slide we posted, so we'll work on that. The benefits, this is a reconciliation of the open enrollment and choices that folks have made and some reconciliation relative to our budget. Books and supplies, Mr. Chor may want to talk about this in a little more detail. This is a $2.9 million adjustment. This is primarily related to restricted dollars. After we close the books, we close the unaudited actuals are finalized after we adopt the budget. So this is a reconciliation of the dollars associated with books and supplies. Again, primarily on the restricted side. Services, Mr. Chor, can you remind what this is related to, the $1.1 million tier two expenditure side? Primarily, is this?
So we went, when we had the board study session, I thought we'd go into that, and mainly looking at a carryover on the, does the next slide have those details?
I'm sorry, I don't remember what I'm talking about.
Could you ask him if he could speak up?
Would you mind speaking up, or standing or speaking so we can all hear? Thank you.
You could, if you come up to the podium, there's a mic there.
No, everyone's favorite.
So we have pieces of information here. There were some increases in, so books and supplies, that's mainly related to the booking of carryover, as we discussed in the board study session, and we'll be working to have more clarity around that. So there were balances that were, so they're related to allocations for this fiscal year and carryover from the prior fiscal year. We're going to be working to refine that so there's a clear understanding of where those funds reside. The secondary component on the services, there was an increase in $250,000. I know I presented this
water
related to water. Do you have the board study slides? Because it's still in
play out. That's right.
In that.
The Medicaid? Was it Medicaid?
They are on the computer.
Are they?
They're if you minimize what you've got there.
Great. Well, perhaps we'll come back and ask you a question.
Sure.
Does that $300,000 in benefits, does that reflect a percentage increase in STIRS and PERS? Where would that?
Yeah, a portion of that. Actually, can we pull up the SACS report? Will we have that?
I don't have it online, right?
We don't have the SACS report. It should be in the board group.
It'll be in the board. Yeah, we'll
yeah, it's itemized all of the points. Just bear with me just a second.
Services, would that be part of the services?
If we go to the SACS report. She should have the report.
Aye.
If we look at page one, it kind of splits out the high level fluctuations in the expenditure.
You got it?
If we go down to...
Can you say, where is the SACS report in relation to anything else?
Pardon me?
Where's the report we're supposed to be pulling up?
It's called the... it's the unaudited actuals, and it should be in the board book.
It is this board book?
Under...
Yes, it's in your current board book. It's part of the first interim report. So it's going to be following the presentation slides.
It's the last section.
You don't know page number.
I could pull up my first general one. Okay.
Sorry.
So it's page 22 in the SACS report. And I'm not sure where that falls in the board book.
So it starts for me on the 46 plus 22.
I'll share it with you.
Oh, here it is.
It follows the multi-year projection.
SACS report. Okay, here it is, Rachel.
So what does SACS stand for?
I just sit my hand number differently.
What does SACS stand for?
Standard Accounting Code Structure.
Okay.
What was the last?
Standard Code Structure.
Oh, it doesn't scroll. That's page by page. So what page are you on?
Page 22 in the SACS report.
Okay, so I'm going to get to that.
Yeah. They're numbered differently.
So in your book, it's page 271, but he's going 22 pages out. Ahead of that. That's where it starts.
In the board book, it's 271.
Oh, no, we're on the right list.
Yeah.
Were we?
Yeah. Okay. And then page 292 is page 22 of the SACS report.
Okay. Oh, here it is. Page 22?
Correct. Page 292 in your board book is page 22 of the SACS report.
Okay, on the board pad or in the physical book?
Okay.
It's either they're the same.
Okay, I just have so many different pages.
So in your actual board book, page 292 is page 22 of the SACS report.
Is this in response to a Jeremy question? That was the question.
We're in the right place.
You're there.
The question was PERS and STIRS. So,
no. Oh, okay.
Okay. So this kind of splits out all those high-level details that were in the summary in the slide presentation. So do we want to start with the salaries? And
okay, we're on services. That's what the question was, 1.190. So here's your
one of the details
summary.
On the services. All the salary component, that's there. Also, all the benefits, STIRS, and PERS. You can see the fluctuation there. So if we're in services and other operating expenditures, the increases were driven by travel and conferences, and I believe that's associated with booking carryover into a particular category. It wasn't that those costs increased. Was a transfer of budgetary item. There was a real increase in operation on in the 5,500, the operation cost. That's related to water. Water increased significantly. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned we were at about $200,000 as we ended November, and so our run rate.
Last year's got a total of 250. You're at
250 and we're at 200. So there's a significant increase in water. And these huge, the conferences and the professional and consulting services, and I know this might be a little confusing, that's mainly attributed to booking of carrier. From the prior fiscal year related to categories. And show that on page.
Is that EEFG, the remainder of the EEFG at the.
If you look at page 9, it shows the allocation of restricted balances. And what we had at the end of the year, our restricted balances were all legally restricted. And these programs, you can't realize the expenditures. It's very peculiar, but you can't realize those expenditures until they remain in the fund balance until you allocate them into the next fiscal year. This shows how those funds were allocated. If you look at 9, section B, you'll see allocations of expenditures in our books and supplies, in our services and other operating expenditures. And again,
no, we must be one more.
Yeah, 9.
There, if we look at our unadjusted actuals for last fiscal year, is about $3.2 million that was carried in the fund balance. If you look at the restricted fund balance right now, there's only about $130,000 left. So those balances were allocated out into particular expense categories with the expectation that they will be spent. If those expenditures aren't realized, they will be rolled back up into the restricted balance at the end of the year. The anticipation is that these amounts will be spent.
So Greg, you're saying that we allocated X amount of dollars, and of those allocated restricted dollars, we have $130,748.89, that particular line.
That has not been allocated, so that's the piece that...
Okay, but they are still restricted dollars.
They're still restricted.
Okay.
And you may realize...
That was a long period.
Oh, sorry.
No.
To get there, and I apologize that it's not in the slides. I just couldn't. But I know to have that in the future.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
Patty, go ahead.
Maybe just a comment, so that when we do come back, that it's a goal that next year during first interim, in these two particular categories for books and supplies, that we have a subset of, I know that you have the accounting system of the state, but to have such a large balance of money sitting in an account that may be restricted, may not be restricted, is always a bit confusing. So for transparency, can we just have a spreadsheet on it? I mean, I'm not wanting to reinvent it, but I do think it would be easier than to abstract from some of those pieces.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the board? I'm going to go to the public, so if you want to think for a minute.
Madam President, may I just get, for clarification, was that for the record that next year the board would like to have a separate spreadsheet on books and supplies?
For the large dollar categories, we should make it simpler
yes.
so it's easier for people to understand what the breakdown is at a high level category.
Yes, that's my ask. I was not speaking on behalf of the board, so if it's
well, I think everyone's nodding, so I think we can just agree with that.
Resource balance.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there comments or questions from the public? I'm surprised. The full presentation? I know, Jared, we had a question in the middle, but let's
just... I was going to say that we couldn't hear that well back there, and there was a question about why the conference and travel was going up so much. But we couldn't... I think you guys talked about it, but we couldn't hear.
It's allocation of restricted carryover into specific categories. And we can dig into that and get some more details out. So it's just, I think it was taking carryover and allocating them and from restricted funds.
Pat, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No,
I feel like you guys kind of
slide. We kind of walked through most of these. Those are some of the bigger categories. The last couple things here, we're showing the first interim on the unrestricted side. The reserve is changing from 11% down to 10.2%. The multi-year projection, Casey shows the last slide. This slide, when we published it for the policy change, this increase, or the label says increase in health and welfare of 8% certificate only. That needs to be changed. So those percentages are reflected for all employee groups, not just certificated only. And the property tax piece is something we talked about as well, too. We shared in our board workshop that there is an assessed value growth. The past several years really a trend. And the correlation between assessed valuation growth and actual property tax growth, that there is a high correlation between those two numbers. This year's assessed valuation growth is estimated at 6%, but the project's growth is at 3.4%, 3.49%. So there's still a possibility that our actual projects this year may be higher. If that's the case, that'll be woven into a future budget we bring forward to you. And then here's just a recap of what the STIRS and PERS rates are for the different years, and it shows these increases for particularly the PERS levels going from 15.53 up to 23.8%. Okay? Jeremy.
Yeah, if you could go back to that slide.
Yep.
So that 23.8%, that's the top rate.
At the end of the line?
At the end of the day.
That's what we understand.
And the 18.13% for STIRS, is that the top rate there?
That's what we understand.
This is for the next 3 years.
What's the top rate for STIRS?
I don't have it off the top of my head, but it continues.
Oh, it continues out? It continues up?
So we can all extrapolate that out.
To a deadline? It continues to
I thought it ended at some point.
It does.
Yes, it does.
I think it's one more year. I was thinking it was one
21. I think it, I thought it ended in 21.
Yeah, 21.
I think it's 2021.
2021.
I can look up the picture.
But that could change, too. Yeah.
This is also, change. Change is every year.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything else, Pat?
That's it.
Any questions? So the
I have a comment. I mean, if you go back to when these increases started in PERS and STIRS, where were we at? Around 10%, 11%?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that has gobbled up not millions, but tens of millions of our dollars.
Well, it's relieved the state. Well, the states relieved their contributions, right? So they shifted that contribution back on the school districts.
Well, yeah, it has.
It's gobbled up our.
Yeah. Huge
amount
of money. Okay, so there's a recommendation from staff to accept this first interim report.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
Student recommendation?
Abstain.
Okay. All those in favor? Aye. Sorry. Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so our next item is the staff report on the bond project's expenditures. Is Mr. Bartos and team going to present?
Yeah, Mr. Bartos, take the wheel.
That went fine, by the way.
Mark, do you want to quiet?
Yes, please.
Mark, do you have questions as you're presenting, or do you want us to wait and ask questions at the end?
That's up to you.
You have a lot of questions, you think?
One in particular.
It will. Okay.
I think. Okay, so if you've already looked at it and you have a particular question, that means that the slides didn't answer that question. So you should ask it when it comes up, I suppose.
And just as everyone know, they had one revised slide on their dais.
So first of all, thank you very much for having us here. Let's see how you
Thanks.
Thank you. So a quote which may be apocryphal, that's usually associated with Mark Twain, I would have written a shorter letter had I had it. So what we're going to start here doing is I want to go over some things that you probably already know. But not everybody knows these things, and some maybe most of you are aware of these things. But as sort of our first run at this sort of process, I want to start from the ground and work up, and we'll get to a deeper level quite quickly. Okay. So there we go. All right. So the basis of this whole thing is you pass two bond measures. Measure A and Measure B, okay? And Measure A is the high school district, and Measure B, the elementary school district. This is important because the middle schools are part of the high school district according to your bond language, okay? You passed $140 million for Measure A for the high school district and $68 million for the elementary district, okay? And so the total is $208. But that's not how much you have to spend. Okay. So, oh boy, Can you see those?
We're into that font.
Well, we do.
So I'm kind of just used to showing you these numbers. So what these are is from a spreadsheet, and we didn't take them and put them into PowerPoint. We went quickly, so I apologize if you can look at your printouts.
Can you read this?
So there's something called cost of issuance. Okay, the cost of issuance will include things like bond counsel, disclosure counsel, all of these things. Here, what you have is the authority to sell $140 million. Okay, and what happens is the financial advisors will go out on the market and they'll sell your bonds, and that costs money in order to sell the bonds, and there's peripheral requirements. And so we look at the cost to DS&C and so forth, and we think overall, over the course of the bond, that percentage will be in the range of 1.75%. Now, we're going to dive into each of these things deeper. I request you to take this as a draft at this point, because this is the first time looking at these.
Okay, so I get the 1.75%, which on $140 million is about $2.5 million. That's fine. Then here's the question. When we retire the certificates of participation for $3.6 million, and this is a PAC question. So if we're paying 4% on those certificates of participation, right, 36 times 4 is $140,000 a year. Will that money then be reflected in the general fund? Where will we see that?
Building fund.
Only building fund.
True.
But building fund could be used for...
True.
We could...
Projects.
That could free up money in the general fund.
No, it cannot.
I thought it could.
We've maxed out what we could put in from facilities into general fund. Because
for this
you can,
year or
for? Because Pat, I'll let you explain.
Okay.
But we've maxed out what we can spend facilities dollars on our facilities and maintenance department, and we've maxed out what we can put in there.
And then,
so, I'm sorry, just a clarification. Okay. Just some, so Jeremy, so the money that goes from the RDA into the building fund, which the district took advantage of the flexibility in the law to utilize the flexibility of Christmas.
Yes.
And that, it's kind of twofold. One is that there is, as you mentioned, there is the RDA, the debt associated with the RDA, that over time will diminish, right?
Yeah.
So there's the diminishment of the debt, and as that debt is diminished, those dollars are to become part of the tax base ultimately. So we can, if you want us to revisit, I think I'm going to give a long answer to your simple question, but I think if it would be a valuable exercise for us to forecast what that window looks like over a period of time associated with the outstanding debt, to see is there any more flexibility associated with money associated with the RDA that can put in the general fund. It's a little different than, because these COP dollars, there is a portion of the RDA that's being used to go towards this debt. And your question is any more of that dollars that's going into the building, which is prescriptive and prohibitive, prescriptive is probably the right word, by law that you have to put a certain percentage into your building fund only. You can't use it for the flexibility of Christmas funds. So if there's still any more leniency for us, that's a separate. Does that answer your question? Long answer your question.
Unfortunately, we can't put that money into general fund.
Sure.
But I would urge you to explore the ability, possibility of using, as we're tight with money as always, as much of that, I'm approximately $140,000 a year, being as creative legally, of course, as possible.
And that, you're saying, Jerry, can that 140, can you go through the other thing? Your 140 you got by saying...
Well, we're paid off 4% of $3.6 million.
Gotcha. Okay.
More or less. I'm assuming...
Did you have a follow-up question on that item?
Yes. So, since that money will... The cost of those COPs are retired. The cost savings on that 4% goes into the building fund. Will we be reinvesting those dollars back into some of these projects for different sites that
will
need
more? That's
a possibility,
too. That's a possibility.
Or do we? Or is it something that we're looking, can you make available to us the type of reserve you need to keep in case of an emergency that runs along with the bond expenditures?
I think what would be valuable, Patty, is, and I'll try to give a succinct answer, but I think that along with what Jeremy's asked for in terms of flexibility,
yep.
if we can have clarity about what money is going into the building fund, we can weave into, when Mark gets a little later in the presentation, he's going to show you development fees, he's going to show you state fund matching dollars. If we want to put into that equation the building fund dollars with a projected increase or projected flow of dollars in that, we can weave that into the overall capital program as well.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
I think so.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. So we still want to pay off the cost, right?
I think we've already paid them off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my understanding is that, right, the financial guys are figuring a number like 36000 doesn't usually occur. So I think it depends on when the check is actually cashed because you're accumulating interest and you've got that payoff thing like my mortgage. So we don't have this number, but I think they're in the process of paying off.
Sure.
Okay.
The payoff was requested, I think, back in October, then. I don't believe that's occurred yet.
Okay. But it's around $3.6 million. Okay. So let me go back though. So that number on the bottom, $133,950, is a more realistic number to have in one's mind in terms of the funds that are available to spend on the high schools. The next one is the same thing, and a more realistic number is $66,810 that would be available on the elementary schools. I recommend you just look at what's in front of you. I'm sorry, it's so small. Next time I'll figure
it's
it out.
It's easier to look there.
Pardon me?
It's easier to look there than it is to find it.
Okay.
Or you can also, do you have the...
All right.
Okay.
So the next thing is district-wide allocation. What happened is, so you have... So 68 million is 33% of 208 million, and 140 is 67% of 208 million. So you have this 67-33 allocation that we would propose to use when you're looking at district-wide things. Okay. So when you're looking at administrative program services, etc., you would.
60.
That you can't say it goes here, it goes there. You would use a 67-33 to those numbers. Okay.
Bless you.
Yes. Question? Oh, okay.
Where,
so this.
Where was the 67-33? I don't see that number.
Oh, see up there in the right hand corner? The 67-33?
Oh, 67 and 33. I thought you were saying 67 and 33.
Okay.
Sorry.
So measure A is 67.
Yeah, so got it.
Those are things where if you're working on stuff, you've got to divide it up somewhere. And it makes sense. So this is, we did...
Well, hey Mark, yeah. You got a 5% contingency below those two program administration, program management. Can you just explain?
Okay, so that... can vary, but that's a recommended amount. Talking to the staff here, Pat and Trevor and so forth, and that would be a safety factor for those things that we don't know about yet, so that you don't get yourself into trouble.
Thank you.
All right. So we, looking at the master plan that you approved back in, I want to say August of last year, we did some research looking at it, looking at some of the history. Iterations. So we're all on the same page. Back in May of, you know what, this would say May of
16.
Yeah. Okay. Just wanted to see if you were paying attention.
Yeah.
So that adds up to 282 million. So when people use a round number of 300 million of the actual need, like they're rounding this out, then this is what you might actually need. Okay. Then what happened is you approved these, I believe, okay, in August. Now, these numbers that were approved, they actually blended the bond dollars with other funds, okay? So in order to deconstruct this, what we did is we subtracted out the other funds to get this column right here. And this column adds up to 208,000, basically, 208 million, excuse me. And these percentages right here are what we would say you looked at and approved as the percentage, relative percentage of need per site based on funds available. Okay? So you looked at, this is what the board approved, and this is also what the board approved, but it looks at only the bond numbers. So the concept here is that we would take these percentages and use it as a historical benchmark when you look at resources and the needs that were assigned to each site, okay? Or resources, I should say. So this last column, then, is what we would say is your initial starting budget of A and B, okay? And that looks at what your actual funds available are.
Well, here's a question. And the discrepancy, for example, Harbor High had other resources, that's $1.25 million extra. I don't, they come from other places other than the bond.
Yeah, and I'm going to show you that.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, okay. So you asked previously, you know, do we do this twice a year, annually, quarterly?
Right.
What this is, it looks at your initial sort of request of these would be, this is how we might look at this quarterly going forward. This is our first one. Greg, are we in the second quarter right now? I guess that what quarter we're in here. Okay. But
yes.
Every 3 months, basically, we would look at these numbers, okay? And so we have these percentages in here so we can track what the initial concept was of the assigned needs. Okay. Another point that you may be interested in is the district's numbering system. The threes are high schools, and the twos are elementary schools. Okay. And that's going to continue throughout our process. Okay, this is...
Question.
Yes.
So then do we consider Brands of 40 small schools? And I mean, we this is, since it's numbered in the threes, but I've always known all the reporting out to be in the...
It's considered, it's an elementary district property.
Okay, though we do have high school... Mm-hmm.
Even though we have high school programs there, it's an elementary district property.
Okay, so that is the bond
the
language
yeah.
for that,
that's
so
right.
It has to sit on that side
that's
of the fence.
Right.
Okay.
So
you.
Why is that yellow? Because mm-hmm. I had the same question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see that. Mine doesn't have color.
And Mark, you've got a TBD to be determined on LaFonda and Swift Street, but I thought we had a budget for those.
No.
Natural Bridges.
Natural Bridges, but I don't think LaFonda or Swift Street we had.
So we didn't attach a budget to Adult Ed or to the old ARC Monarch campus.
Okay.
We attached a budget to Natural Bridges campus when we in the facilities master plan. Mm-hmm. There's need at those other places, but we didn't attach a budget there when we approved the master plan.
Then what is our Swiss Street? Not Natural Bridges, didn't we?
It's the old ARC Monarch campus. It's that's occupied by Natural Bridges High School right now.
Oh, okay. Which this.
The COE is occupying, and actually the part that they're occupying was built with the last bond, so it's new building, much newer buildings
mm-hmm.
yes.
than what our other buildings, than our other buildings at, on other campuses.
So by having, we leave those categorically there for possibility, or...
That's right. If we, and back to your comment a little earlier too, Patty, if we look at this as kind of a capital program management, at some point might we consider using some building fund proceeds or some RDA funds or income fund,
okay.
and we commit it towards Adult Ed or towards
okay.
natural, then we would, this would be the instrument to do that. Okay, Mark?
Yeah, great.
Okay. Can I ask one more question about the rationale behind Brands of 40 being lower is... It's smaller?
This is a representation, Mark. Can you get back to the prior slide?
Oh.
Yeah.
And so walk me through, because I'm trying, I can't.
Oh, the dollars?
The percentage on the original master plan.
This
yeah.
is.
I'm sorry, can you read me what that number is?
So it's just need?
Yeah, Brands of 40 small schools is 15.5 here, but then it went down to 13.3, and you have 1.7.
Other funds.
Six.
So
it's Brands of 40 Middle School is what she spoke speaking
oh.
about.
All middle schools?
No, I actually
yeah.
was
so I'm sorry.
The small schools.
The small schools number on the far, the bottom, that number is 8.4. And if you, and going back, Sheila, to this percentage, uh-huh. that's relative to those proceeds that are available after some of those other expenditures are accounted for, that number is the same percent. That number is a different dollar number, but the percentage is the same, right?
Yes. And
does that answer your question, Sheila? Because you were asking, why is that number low?
Why is the number lower?
And that number there is retaining the same percentage, but the dollar value is lower. Because some of those off-the-top expenditures, the cost of issuance and other things are taken, deducted off that to get to a smaller dollar amount.
Lower? I'm sorry, can I ask that question? Are you asking it, why is it lower than the other middle schools, or is it why is it lower than what you thought it should be?
I actually started out with question one.
Okay.
But I found question two helpful, but... Why is it lower than the other middle schools?
Because when the master plan was originated, if I'm thinking
please,
of this correctly,
you were there, not me.
I was there. They took student numbers and divided. So if you have a larger base,
right.
So you'll
okay.
see that that some of the schools, though we have three comprehensive high schools, it wasn't divided by three. They said students were more use was happening at different
right.
by.
And they also
that's
took
what I
was condition at. Of facilities. For example, Francis 40 Middle School's got a brand new track that doesn't need any work at this point,
right.
for example.
Well, not in the allocation part. It was in
that. It was purely done by numbers and not by need.
Not the need in the needs assessment of the subcommittee, the needs were high completely across the district. So when the committee convened, it was difficult to say, well, should we prioritize one particular site over another? So we looked at it from the lens of if the volume is higher and serving more students at one site, that's where the dollars would be allocated. And, of course, knowing that the board would take from... It was just a starting basis, and everybody knew that it could shift. But having that historical knowledge and putting it in the columns that you're starting with is wonderful, because as things shift, we can help the public understand why.
Right.
Continue.
Okay.
All right. So this will be our starting point today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These numbers here are going to appear on the next slide. This is just... from Measure B, okay? It doesn't include the other potential resources. Okay. This slide, these are the high schools. This slide is representative of the high schools. And these are funds that we called from the master plan, okay, that were SFP. Everybody know what SFP is?
No.
School Facilities Program.
Okay.
So you call it Prop 51. And so you have modernization eligibility at sites that's based on the age of the buildings and the student population at a site. And age of the buildings is related to when the last time the district got funds to modernize a building from the state. Okay? So there's been several propositions, Prop 1D, four, and can't remember the other ones right now. But based on the report from the master plan, which we haven't confirmed ourselves at this time, these are the dollars that would be available for modernization. Okay, and then the developer fees, what your master plan indicated was $2 million over 10 years as an estimate. We're looking at 5 years right now, so we're looking at $100,000 a year $200,000 a year over 5 years. So that's $1 million. And dividing it up by 10 sites, that's $100,000 per site. That's how we put the $100,000 a year. Okay? So this column is what you really would have available at a site for budgeting projects at that site. Now, what Pat was referring to, it's interesting to learn about the RBA, for example. It's not listed here. But these are other resources that may come into play as we move forward. Okay. Thus, the reason that we put those percentages in as they are now is it gives us a baseline to track things, because that would be separate from the funds that are identified at a site, okay, that can come into that site. All right, so this is check out Branson 40. small schools. You have actually, according to the master plan, 1.8 million that's available for modernization. So your budget's actually 10.2 right there. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. This slide simply indicates these numbers this way don't add up, but it indicates at a high level that you start off with 200 million available overall and you spent 3.3 million. So that tells you mathematically that 1% would be like 1.5%, right, of your program. That's basically where you're at right now.
Is that including the bond issuance?
That's after the bond issuance. So you see these numbers here start lower. So we could have done it that way. But for simplicity, the way the spreadsheets work, we start with the actual numbers after the COPS.
Okay, so that takes place with this slide right here.
So the true number is a little bit higher than this when you add in the bond issuance and the COPS. Because the COPS themselves are 3.6.
Right. But in terms of money we have spent.
Sure. Yes.
Boom.
Right.
So someone asked me from the public, how much money has the school board spent of the $208 million? Just, well, we can say we spent $3.3 million.
Okay.
That's what I would tell you.
Good.
Okay.
That's great. Thank you.
So this slide indicates that we have to, the TBDs, we're still scrolling in on the numbers and what they are, what we're doing, right? Okay. Then this slide indicates overall what has been spent at a site. So if you want to know how much has been spent at Harvard, it's $830,000. Okay. In the next slide, they're going to indicate how you can just break that down as a general sense. Not to the penny, but generally. Okay. All right. So this slide is a compilation, actually, of many spreadsheets. And at first, I had a spreadsheet for each site listing all of its projects, but then there were a lot of those still, and we've been way more boring than I'm doing right now. So this consolidates all of those projects into one format. I think the important thing here is these numbers on the left here. Okay, I understand that it's very important to look at your master plan and those, what we prefer to call categories that we're defining, okay? And this number, let's call this a planning number going forward. Each site has slightly different listing of projects. If you look at the list, it's really interesting looking at it with fresh eyes. The first five were about the same, and then after you get from six on up, the categories or project types changed. So, and I've got a slide to share about this in a second. Okay. This is the elementary school, the first site.
So so far, the most money we've spent has been at Baby, and that was mainly in the movie.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
At the elementary, at the high school level, it was Harvard. Okay, which is also, I think,
a lot of
work.
And design will feel.
And design all the fields, too, right.
Okay. Great.
Okay. So in terms of those planning numbers, okay, and the reason I wanted to share this slide with you is what's happening right now is with Trevor and the team, we're looking at defining actual projects at the sites in comparison to categories, okay, and utilizing that top-level budget at each site to know. So when you know the budget at a site, and you know the projects and the priorities at a site, you can estimate the probable costs of projects. And then you can put those in order based on prioritization, and you can figure out just scientifically, this one and this one and this one are not going to be on the list. So schedule, scope, cost, and priorities are all inextricably linked with each other. Okay. So the reason for this diagram is to show that you might have something that's called existing building renovations, but that might go into roofing, HVAC, painting, kitchen, okay, these different projects. You also might have something that's called HVAC and heating, ventilation, air conditioning, but you might be doing a gymnasium reconfiguration where there's some HVAC. You might be doing building modernization where there's HVAC, et cetera. So when you have these broad categories like utility infrastructure, for example, we're not really sure what that actually means. It could mean simply site utilities. It could mean any of these things. And all of those things would be components of all of bigger projects. Okay? So we're discovering, the team is discovering, in certain cases where the master plan's at HVAC, but you look at it and you find out, oh, you know what, you don't have to do a big HVAC project, you need to replace some grills, and that can free up some money for other projects. You're finding other cases where you thought only a certain dollar amount was necessary for a project, but the site priorities are actually bigger than that. And all of these things get intermixed. Okay? So where we're at now is, so you've done your team compilation and site reconnaissance over the summer. Site planning team meetings, so all the teams meet with Trevor on a regular basis. All the teams have been meeting with the sites on a regular basis, and our team calls them PRCs, planning review committees, the key stakeholders, generally led by the principal and whoever gets invited. And of course, this is, we have planning team. So actually, I should mention strategic logistics too. When you're looking at prioritization at a particular site, we want to modernize these buildings, but we don't want to spend money on temporary housing. So how do we modernize a building while we have space and then move people from one location to the other? While it might take some more time, it can save time in terms of temporary housing, okay? Which is actually not one of the projects on your master plan, temporary housing. Okay. So, and known projects have been initiated, like the pools, the fields, roofs, landscape, and other mini projects, like painting the gymnasium, fixing plumbing in certain cases, things that are definitely part of those categories but can get done quicker and may or may not be a DSA, a project that requires state approval of the department. Okay? And so right now, between now and the next time or the next time, the teams are working on figuring out the project list to fill out that list of projects that we show at each site, figuring out magnitudes of costs, and then fitting that into the budgets, okay, based on discussions with the site staff, Trevor, et cetera. Okay? And then Trevor and I have talked about this, the site open houses, right? Where what we want to do is we want to have an occasion where we camp out in a room on site, and we let anybody come in that wants to comment on the master plan. So we're sure that everybody's had a chance. And also Trevor wants to do a sort of a community meeting where we have those master plans as we develop them to get any other input. Okay. There we go. That's it. Any questions?
Patty, do you have a question?
Yes, I offline a question. So thank you for the defining of project, because I do know that when the master plan was compilated, it was a very broad, it was under the umbrella of a very broad view. So when you define a project, I'm looking to see, and I'm not quite sure in our organizational chart, where the public will be able to understand this sort of piece, because we, as a board, adopted a plan that looked very, like you said, what does an infrastructure look like? This, and it may have been something that will only cost whatever for HVAC, and then some sort of way to report it to the public and the shift and how we did that. I'm just trying to see what we can do for that. How do you see that happening?
Well, this is a conversation for Emma, because this is a dialogue I've been having with the teens, plural, okay, about that concept too, about retaining that, because there's a lot of work done in the initial study, a lot of dialogue, and how relative to the demands, as if you know, we talk about a particular project that might, if there was a set aside in the project, Patty, we talk about the field as an example at Harvard. that the actual cost relative to that field, we believe, is going to be greater than what was part of that initial master plan. That's part of that discussion that Mark talked about, too, is going back to that budget piece and defining that piece as we get a better understanding of scope. And then ultimately what we talk about, too, is if we have to go back and talk about the prioritization, Mark talked about prioritization, too, the prioritization of projects relative to the obligatory components of projects that have to be done that may not have been and probably couldn't have even been contemplated in the initial master plan, that has to be flushed out. So ultimately, Patty, we have to have a document that we can refer to have these discussions that says, here's what the priority of projects were, and here's what the actual cost coming out to. And if we have fewer dollars than what was set aside in the initial master plan, it's a discussion at the site level that says, here's what we're wrestling with. Here's the dollar we still have available, and here is ultimately, so whether it's a discussion at the site, Patty, or it's a discussion at the board level, but to educate the public on this, we haven't defined exactly what that path is yet because we're still having discussion regarding some of the numbers and the overall budgets.
Okay, and I understand that. I guess my question then is, in hopes, the reason for the question is, what will be the messaging and the easiest way for the public to see it? And I've seen it, an example, in another district where they had a bond where they listed what the initial master plan was. They had a column, met, date projected. They may have had an asterisk by the dollar point, not feasible due to overcost, not prioritized. And so we could just go through three columns and show the public, this is where you started, this is where it moved to, and a little note column to say why. Board took action to move, not feasible. Priority 15 on that of 60 was not this. And just that sort of movement would, when I see this, which is wonderful, I'd like to see how it can translate, just always in the messaging.
Yeah. And Patty, what you've talked about, we've talked about also, about having those columns and showing the variance. And but what we haven't fleshed out is that discussion, because our discussion is kind of like at the high level says, here's a list of everything we'd like to do, and here's a list of everything we believe we can do. And for those things that we don't believe we can do out of this go-round, how do we communicate that? And that's kind of what you're going to do. There's two separate things. There's one is there's the financial piece, but there's also the discussion piece that says, if there's some things we think that we may not be able to cover priority-wise out of this bond, then that's the discussion that we have to have.
Well, can I just ask that all at stake is something as simple as board took action to move this priority off and a date, and then the community can understand where the discussion happened.
That's absolutely
possible. That's all I'm looking for. Personally.
But what we want to do is, with the exercise with the teams, we want to bring something for the board to understand, for us to understand, what we believe those projects are that we may not be able to do relative to the dollars and demands and things that are.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, can I just say one more thing? I'm sorry. So we took action in our consent agenda to have a particular firm start looking at some work, and
right.
We'll take that input their level to say, if you're going to do this, why would you lay wires that you're going to dig up next project for whatever happens? So.
Yes, and then so this chart right here is not in your package. It's after my presentation. The presentation, and you can't see this. Other than just generally understanding.
Okay.
These numbers here are assigned to, those numbers are assigned to items in your master plan that's created. So when you look at this project, let's see this one right here, building modernization, okay? All of these components, 1, 4, 3, 11, and 12, existing building renovations, utility infrastructure, HVAC systems, all of those components are part of this. So what we would do is, as budgets are developed, as actual magnitudes of costs are developed for a defined project, we'll always make sure that there's reference to what was in the master plan. Now the other point that I would like to make, the first five are just about all the same. There are some things where it's a shade structure, or a type of a building, okay? And those are things that you could respond to while you decide to incorporate this with something else. In order to track these, the cost for those categories is going to be very complicated, because when you're doing a project,
a modernization project with a contractor, you can't say how much goes to this thing and how much goes to that. I mean, you do have what's called a schedule of values, but there's no way to track what those costs are in the system.
Okay. Dee Dee, did you have a question still on this issue? Or go ahead. Or did
not
you forget?
On this issue, so
okay. If you want to back up, or I've sort of lost track.
I don't know where you want to go. I have four questions, and they're kind of all over the place.
Okay. Jeremy, is this on this related? Okay. Would you like him to? He's finished, so go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Some of my questions, just any clarification on the slide where you were talking about resources, high school resources and elementary resources. One of the columns refers to developer fees. And there's $100,000 per site. What does that mean? What does that cover?
Okay, so developer. So I'll go out on a limb, and Pat can correct me where I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Developer fees are based on, you know what developer fees are?
No.
Okay, so somebody's going to build a big housing development, mm-hmm. and they have to pay developer fees because they're going to have children that live there, and those children are probably going to go to your schools. And so they need to participate in helping the schools to support the facilities for the schools because they're adding impact to your schools. So developer fees are these things that I think the different attorneys, they fight it over to figure out who gets what component of it in different school districts that overlap in certain areas. So that developer fees is Pat's estimate.
So just I'll be really succinct. So developer, whether you're adding an addition to your house over a certain square footage, or if you're a developer that's developing a huge section of land and put a lot of housing on it, everybody has to pay a fee. It's relative to the square footage, and those fees school districts can collect for two reasons. Number one, offset the costs of growth. If you have to bring in additional buildings to accommodate the growth, number one, and districts can also utilize those funds in the event that the proceeds that they have available, as in our case, that our need, as Mr. Bart has shown in his slide, of $290 million, relative to our proceeds of $208 million, we can continue to collect those fees because we have need in our community. Okay. Okay. Does that answer your question?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Can I go on?
Jeremy, you want to? Are you okay ceding your time? Okay, go ahead.
The other question I have is regarding the program-wide expenditures. You talked about program admin, program management, and program contingency, which adds up to about $14 million. My question is that taken off the top? And if so, is it divided between the 67% from high schools and 33% elementary?
Yes, sir.
But it's taken off the top?
True. Yes.
Okay. And so
before you budget to each site, that's taken off.
There we go. Thank you. That was very helpful. Later on in the presentation, you talked about temporary housing. Are you talking about swing space there?
Yeah.
Thank you. Then the last question I have is regarding Harbor High School and the $653,000. I think you briefly mentioned that a lot of those funds were going towards design, and I just wanted clarification. I know that's a very challenging site.
Yeah.
For the field, so maybe you can give me a little more.
If you look at back of the envelope, Dee Dee, and you say, you know, gentlemen like Mark, that their fees are 10% of the anticipated cost of construction, and if that field's going to cost us $6 million, there's $600,000 in fees associated with it. So that's kind of a back of the envelope.
There's other fees that were going to be in there,
yeah.
Inspector fees, survey fees, geotechnical,
topographical,
hazard, yeah, topographic surveys.
DSA.
DSA is a procedure.
Does that help answer your question?
That really helps, and I think when I look at that amount, it blows my mind, and I think the public will want to know that Harbor is just a really challenging site in terms of for the field.
Well,
and
you're
there is
see
a lot of money.
That same type of percentage for the pools, for classroom modernization, each project you're going to see a commensurate dollar amount, the same as Harbor.
Okay.
Okay. So they're not alone.
All right. Big chunk of change.
Yeah.
I see Ali's light, and I have a feeling it's about specifically related to Harbor. Did you have a question?
I actually had a question about a previous question of yours about the development fees. I remember there was mention over 5 years, and I was wondering where that comes in overall.
So the 5 years is relative to how quickly we'd like to expend the dollars for this bond program.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
I think so, but I was wondering, there was a mention of like 200,000 times 5 and then divided by the sites, and I was wondering, is it that the developer fees are per year and they're going to come in over those 5 years?
That's right. It's an estimate based on what we've seen as of the past couple of years. It's an estimated amount we'll see for the next 5 years. So you take that estimated amount, multiply by 5, and then you divide it amongst the different sites.
Okay.
Does
Thank
that
you.
Help?
Yes.
Jeremy.
Right. So this is a long time coming, and I really want to thank you very much. It clarifies things a great deal for me. It makes me feel like we've taken a big, big first step. And I look forward to your reports on a quarterly basis, so in about 3 months. That's the first step, really. Right on.
Here, here.
Second point is, and this relates back to the Clifford Moss $15,000 flat fee. Along with being at the site, which I think is a great idea for the day, I would say each site needs a, for lack of a better word, billboard. You know, your bond money at work. Let's go. You know, people.
It's in development.
What's that?
It's in development.
Yeah, and so, and again, I think that should come out of bond money, not general fund. And people are like the people in the Middle Ages in the church. You know, they need to see the pictures.
So we've designed signs that will go at your site that one says, I should have bought the image with you, but you guys will see it. It's got like a check mark over Measure A. We thank the community for your support, and then it will list the projects that are upcoming in a seasonal matter, and he has the money about which ones.
With some pictures.
They're going to be 4 foot by 8 foot.
With some pictures.
Okay.
Nobody reads anymore.
Pictures of you guys.
No, pictures of a pool or pictures of a track or pictures, you know.
The checkbox.
Here's the church, here's the steeple. Pictures.
Go ahead, Dee Dee.
I wanted to make a friendly suggestion, if at all possible, if we could have on our website at some point before and afters. I think that would
be
so exciting. Yeah. To see as these projects get finished.
I know Mark's done that.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of times Mark did it. So that's part of your standard practice.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's fun. Mark's also done footage like the accelerated, you show a construction, you have something on a crane, and it takes video of the whole thing.
Yeah.
You see the pool being dug out, and the success. So it's kind of like, watch, it's like a minute long, but it's,
yeah,
right?
That's neat.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Thank you.
So our next item of business is to regarding donation to SoCal's Capital Little League organization. Is that you again?
Yeah, it's me again. So we have a really generous donation from the Little League to do some work on the field. It's really addressing a lot of maintenance issues. It's addressing drainage issues. It's addressing paving issues. A lot of gold finds. I know Travis wanted to have a conversation directly with them. This in very generous donation also brought forward to us, and for me in particular, that we don't have a specific donation form process in place. We don't have a contractor insurance certificate for work they're doing in place. So what I brought and I shared with you tonight was a copy of the donation form. It's actually called a modification form. So we brought it forward to you for your approval tonight, and we're working directly with the Little League and the contractors for them to provide us with the donations and with the insurance certificates so they can get out there with their backhoes and whatever else they're going to do. So the district's covered, and we recognize all these folks who are donating these materials and their time. So they're going to repave the parking lot down there. They're addressing the gold fine issues, the paving issues, the drainage issues. We have beautiful space for these young kids in our community. So we're recommending you approve the donation tonight, and we're working directly with them to get some of that insurance information in place.
Patty.
First, I'd like to thank that part of the community. My son went through that little league. I actually know the board that is the little league. I would hope that we can also allow the little league to let our coaching staff for our girls who use that field, and that that field has been donated in name, so that they're made aware of that. So there's not any conflicting, not that I believe they would be. But I would just ask, and not to hold it up, that at some point you show us, because it says that they would see Exhibit B to the walkways and sort of what the plan is. And I just really would like to thank, I think it's Angela DiBernardo, who's currently the president, Patrick Shields, who sits on the board, and those who have worked hard. That has been a gift of a board to Little League for the last 6 or 8 years. So I'd like to thank them publicly.
So this is a recommendation. Is there a motion to approve?
Move approval.
Second.
Student recommendations?
Abstain.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, so our next item of business is the CSBA Delegate Assembly nominations. I'm going to turn this over to Chris.
So it's that time of the year. Deb has been serving on behalf of our community in the Delegate Assembly, and now is a time for us to nominate candidates. Anyone interested can submit their name for nomination. We can nominate as many candidates as we choose to nominate as board. So know if anyone is interested.
I'm interested in continuing.
I nominate Deb.
you can self-nominate as many as we
nominate Deb.
Thank you.
So is there anyone else besides Deb that's interested that would like to be nominated?
There are a few seats up. It's a two-year term. And most delegates serve two-plus terms. I'd be interested in one more term. So there was
so
a
hearing
motion.
None. There was a motion to nominate Deb.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service, Deb.
Yes,
and
thank you.
Thanks for doing this.
Okay, our next item is the Sunshine for SCCS and SCCCE.
So I bring forth the recommendation for approval for our Sunshine Items to our classified unit, SCCCE, for approval tonight. The three articles are organization, security, wages, and health and welfare amendments.
Other questions from the board? Any questions or comments from the public? So is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Student recommendations?
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So our last item of business is the annual board reorganization, and Chris, as board clerk, will handle this item.
Hi. Good evening, everybody. Per our board bylaw 9100, it's that time of year when we have our board organizational meeting. I want to start by thanking Deb for serving as president and all of the extra hours and time and commitment to that. We are very grateful to you for doing that. I apologize. Our plaque did not arrive on time.
Oh, no.
So we will make sure that it gets to you.
Thank you.
As I did last year, I'm going to review just kind of the roles of the trustees as part of our agreement in our bylaw. We hold this within a certain time frame every year. At this meeting, we have a discussion to identify members who are potentially interested in serving as officers prior to taking nominations. We're going to elect a president and a clerk, and we say vice presidents. We'll elect a president and a vice president. Going to ask that you appoint me as our tradition as board secretary, and then authorize signatures. The role of the president, presiding over board meetings, signing all instruments, acts, orders as necessary to carry out the state requirements and the will of the board, consulting with the superintendent or designee on preparation for board agendas, working with the superintendent to ensure that board members have necessary materials and information, appoint board members to committees, and appointing and dissolving all committees, representing the district as governance spokesperson in conjunction with the superintendent, being available to communicate with the superintendent regarding urgent district business, and to disseminate information to other trustees. the role of the vice president. When the president is unavailable, the vice president performs the president's duties and also serves on the agenda committee. So given those roles and what I just open it up for discussion. Dee.
I wanted to thank Deb for her leadership and let my colleagues know on the board that I am interested in serving as the vice president. I think being the president would be exceedingly difficult in my availability to do my job and in fact challenging to do that well. So, but I really appreciate the leadership that Claudia and Deb have provided and Allison, which is here. And I feel like it's time for me to step up and contribute a little bit, and that's what I'd be interested in participating in.
Any further discussion?
Claudia's lights
on. Oh, I can't see it.
I'm sorry.
It's
cold. Are you okay? Well, thank you, Deb, and thank you, Dee Dee. I'm interested in the role of president. I am taking. I'm partially retiring, so I will have more time, and I feel that will be helpful. And I feel I can perform the role of president.
Is there any more discussion? Is there any motions?
I'm slow. This is discussion.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Sure. I also wanted to thank Deb for the time you put in, and thank both of you for volunteering. My heart wishes I could do it. My physical self won't allow me to. I was worried that none of us would be able to do it this year. So I really appreciate people stepping up. That's all.
Well, I nominate Claudia for board president.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is there a nomination for vice president?
I nominate
you. I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is there anybody interested in nominating me to serve as board secretary?
I'll nominate Chris.
I'll second.
I'm sorry, who made that nomination? Thank you.
And I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
So,
are we actually done?
Well, I'm officially closing the meeting, and now we have, the Board of Finance Authority, as I was called.
Yes.
So Claudia and I will trade places, and Claudia, you will.
The meeting for the finance.
So we have to annually, along with our board reorganization, because we serve as this board also serves as a financing authority for the school district, we have to elect the president and vice president of the financing authority. Our past practice has been to nominate the current year's president and vice president of the board, and I will leave it to you all to decide how you'd like to move.
Any comments or questions?
I'm not sure.
You look puzzled.
Yeah. We're nominating the same people we nominate?
That's been our history.
That has been historically what we have done. The financing authority has had the same president and vice president as the board in past years.
Okay.
So if someone would like to move to do that, we could do that. Or if you would like to do something else, you could discuss doing something else.
I would move we nominate the same people we nominated. There must be a better way to say that.
Do you have to take them individually?
I don't think we have. If you wanted to not, I move that we have the board vice presidents and president and vice president serve as the finance authority president and vice president. I think
like she said.
I think that's what Sheila was saying, right?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? Public? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Students, I'm sorry. Okay.
Woo! That was the easiest one we've had.
That's so weird, isn't it?
I know, it's always like you suddenly forget what I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, Claudia, then you're aging better than I am.
I'm just going to say, Claudia, that you're going to have a hard thing living up to this thing
by 8:06. No. Oh, yeah, I know.
I know.
Well, that's because you said you'd do it.
This has been a remarkable
Yeah,
you'll send me your biographical.
Yeah,
it's
going
to
be.
Yeah,
because it ain't going to be.
Okay, so here's my problem.
So it is easier for me now. Right. If I wasn't, if I really worked down, then maybe I could do it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Well, I'm going to be at work after the 21st, but I can do it from home.
I used to. I just do it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I thought I wasn't going to quite make it to the end.
Yeah, in there.
All right, I'll get it to the meeting.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate that.
And
that sounds wonderful. Yeah.
Let's take care of
that. That sounds great.
I want to maybe an annual.
Yeah, no kidding. We ought to do that.
Well, you know, I felt so good about that. And I felt that I was like that.
Claudia,
I need to talk to you about the PlayStation. I'm not just a second.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. We need to get together.
Yeah.
No, I got your drift. The words came right across my ears, and I was feeling really bad. And then when I hit the nuts, I went, "Oh, that really helped."
Why?
So I could use some food.
Yes, and I was very grateful that we've gotten to the point of the deciphering of the bond. Because now, the sooner we get that under our belt, that can just all move to the side and go back to the other stuff. Well, and just to have numbers to connect to, and a reporting system. So a system's been built. Mm-hmm.
Great, thanks for coming. Trevor.
Thank you. Thank you for it. That really scared me. I'm sorry.
Are you okay?
I so desperately know I needed water.
Yeah,
I mean, I still feel it a little bit, but basically it presses on my spinal nerve and then my body just goes nuts. But the food helps, which surprised me because I didn't think it had to do with food. But once I ate the food, I thought it was better. So I just didn't know. Like, I couldn't figure out how to get water.